1233 at KSRO. Good afternoon. I'm Dale Tresillos, and this is Ask the Expert. Today, we're talking about the latest with the Kincade Fire, from cases to rebuilding issues, and also our current situation, which we obviously are in with the glass fire. Joining me now in the studio from Hanson and Miller Law Firm, it is Roy Miller.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course. A pleasure having you in here, Roy. When we last talked, it was with a red flag warning in effect, you know, that was kind of going into the weekend, and we're under similar situations. And unfortunately, you know, since we last talked, we're kind of in another major
fire?
Wildfire situation.
Yes.
And it's just got to be troubling to, you know, just as a fire survivor to yourself and to your family, to just kind of have to live with it and just to kind of deal with it, what seemingly year after year.
It's something where I in talking to people I work with, people who are friends of mine, my own family, you wind up going from crisis to crisis and being hypervigilant. I was on the scanner all this week listening to where things were to try and get a head start if we needed to get out and that sort of thing. And it is, it's wearing. I don't know about the people who are listening, but I'm kind of out of gas at this point. I'm not sleeping well. My family's not sleeping well. It's difficult to keep up this kind of pace with this much crazy for this long.
Yeah.
So I think it's just important for people to kind of, as they're indoors, which they probably need to be, to kind of take stock of where they are and what they need to be doing if things change.
That's a very, very good advice, I think, for anybody that's listening at that right now anyway. And just to note, as our friend Jeff Woodward just said at the bottom of the hour, we're still on a red flag warning until tomorrow, so that's just a good thing to take until tomorrow. But it is very very exhausting for all of us. Just for people who, you know, just don't remember, what is there just probably some of the things that, you know, you should be doing right now if you're not right now under evacuation order, or you're even under warning?
One thing that I thought was kind of weird is I was seeing people in my neighborhood jogging and cycling. They didn't have masks on, and the air right now is worse than New Delhi, India, which is one of the most polluted cities on the planet. The air is hazardous. You should not be exercising outdoors, number one. Number two, I actually, after court this morning, I went home and I checked the air filters I just put in 4 weeks before, which are Honeywell fairly high-grade air filters, and they were chock full. And so I went out and bought replacement filters. I would urge everybody to stay indoors. I know that's hard. I know COVID has made it worse for months, but it's a real health concern with the air quality. Go and swap out your filters. You can get them at most hardware stores in the Home Depot. The supply amount is not great, but go for the higher filtration content. They're color-coded, at least at Home Depot. Purple and black are the two highest. I got purples. And be prepared to change them out often, because you want the indoor air quality to be as good as possible. Pack what you cannot stand to lose: passports, medication, driver's licenses, things like that.
This is for your go bag.
I want everybody to have a go bag.
Yeah.
Mine, I packed and unpacked because that's how I deal with this. I've been packing and unpacking my little go bag, along with monitoring the scanner and kind of having an awareness of where things are. Just have the go bag there. Have your car backed into your driveway so that you can just pitch it into your trunk and go. And that can relieve some anxiety for people who don't know what's going to happen next. If things are ready to go, then you just go.
Yeah.
And you take the idea that you, your family, your pets can get out. The rest is going to sort itself out. Our firefighting crews have been absolutely bang on. It's amazing the work that they've been able to do yet again. But our fire resources are already maxed out, as we saw in the Press Democrat article. We've been very lucky that this red flag has been kind of a fizzle, and I hope it continues. But we can't count on it, and the fire is now north of Calistoga. And if the winds come in hard from the east, that's going to put it in the Tubbs Fire path lane, which my home and many others are in. So people just need to be aware.
Certainly, certainly is the case. And, you know, even if you're just not, like, in the immediate vicinity, just keep aware that Spare the Air alert extended through at least Tuesday.
Correct.
Of next week. So just not a good idea to be outside unless you absolutely have to be.
Correct.
Yes. As for your go bag itself, what kind of items do you have stored in your own go bag?
Mine tends to have things like changes of clothing that you roll up. It has water. I don't have medication, but some members of my family do. So their medication, the passports, laptops. All the kids these days have laptops, either school issued or their own. So you have your laptops and then anything that just cannot be replaced. We already lost everything that can't be replaced. So basically for us, it's going to be immediate changes of clothing, with my wife, some jewelry, and then the laptops, and then you're good to go. And you really don't need to overthink. Oh, food for the pets, and things like that. If you have an electric car, have your car charger in the car itself so you don't get caught short, that sort of thing. But it doesn't need to be anything particularly crazy or fancy. Mm-hmm. But you do need to have the necessities because, as we found in the Tubbs fire, access to medication was very spotty at first. Access to certain changes of clothing, certain types of food that you may need to eat, certain types of things that you need to drink. You might as well have that and just have it in your car. And if you need to go, you just go.
What about like a preparedness plan to kind of go along with that, like where to go?
Yeah, that's going to vary depending on where you happen to live. And as many of us found out, there are limited options for exiting your neighborhood. And it really depends on where the fire is coming from. If you're in the northeast quadrant, the Mark West drainage, that limits you mostly to Mark West Springs Road and Old Red to 101. Fountain Grovers obviously have dealt with having to do Fountain Grove Parkway, Reebley, and things like that. But you should plan out ahead of time which way to go. We know now where the fire, if the fire is going to confront us this weekend or in the next week, it's going to come from the east-northeast. That should help people plan as to where to go. Again, I think that we're probably going to get through this without having it come back. But it's always a good idea just to reassure yourself, okay, I've taken 5 minutes. The plexiglass is invading my space here. I'm going to take 5 minutes. I'm going to make sure I know where I need to go, and then you don't worry about it. The next thing I would suggest, since the Giants were knocked out of the playoffs, is you get on the bandwagon, and you join me on the San Diego Padres bandwagon. We're doing really well. We had a heart attack game last night. Game 3 is tonight at 4:08 Pacific time. I want everybody on the bandwagon with me because I need us to get another crack at L.A. But the preparedness thing doesn't need to take a lot of time. It doesn't need to freak people out. It actually could help calm people because now I know what I need to do. Some of my clients have actually printed out directions just because if it winds up happening in the dead of night, you're a little discombobulated, boom, it's right there for you.
Better have those in the car, though.
You would have those in the car or in your go bag. You know, all of us have a situation regarding mapping programs and things like that. It's just a matter of making sure that you know what you need to do. And then you just put it aside and you deal with it. This is a high stress time. My family and I had a brief discussion yesterday about whether or not some of us should go down south out of the smoke, which, you know, it didn't go over so well. And maybe I spent the night in the guest room because of it, because I was like, oh, you guys should go. And they're like, dude, no. So understand that people are wound up tight, and that includes me, that includes people, coworkers. People are going to be wound up a little tight because all of this, people not sleeping, you need to take a breath and understand that it's okay to go a little bit slower and kind of back off and kind of think about what you should or shouldn't do, because not everybody's going to have the same idea. Going to San Diego may be all kinds of awesome for some people, but I can't go. I got to be here because of my work. Yeah. So my family didn't want to go, and that's totally cool. But it's okay to have the discussion, and at some point, people should have that discussion because some people have already left the area for a while because they don't want to be living in a smoke bowl, and I get that.
I'm just going to have to disagree with you on the Padres thing.
Oh, come on, man.
Sorry about that. For those of us that, unfortunately, there are still thousands of people that are evacuated at this moment, what should they be asking themselves as they're still waiting to get back into to areas like Oakmont?
It is super hard to be patient. I can tell you from all of the information that we've been gathering and people in law enforcement I've talked to that Oakmont is mostly intact. The areas that are still evacuated are very much still intact. It's really hard to be patient. If you have the ability to peace out, to go somewhere else for the weekend, away from the smoke, I would suggest you do that. Know that what your home is still there, you're safe, your family's safe, your pets are safe, hopefully, and just be glad for it. Understand that they want to get you back into your homes as soon as possible, but as was covered in the Press Democrat this morning, there's a lot of infrastructure damage, and they need to make certain repairs to gas lines, roads, and electric lines to make sure everything's safe for you to go back. Mm-hmm. That does take time, and with how massive this fire is, it's bigger than the Tubbs fire. It covers more area and more potential problems. They do not want you walking in or driving into a hazardous situation. It's just, it's not safe. Just be patient.
It's not safe, and it also takes them away from what they need to be doing as well to fight the fire and, you know, the resources there.
You don't want to have the firefighters and law enforcement have to come in to help you because you went back too soon and wound up in a problem situation because of the fact you went in before you were supposed to do so. It's really hard. I tried to go in too soon during the Tubbs fire. That was a ridiculous decision on my part. All I did was come upon a smoking heap of ash. That was mine. For most of you out there, your house is still standing. Just know that it's there. You'll go back and everything will be good.
If you do suspect, you know, unfortunately, that maybe you're one of the few that does have either damaged property or lost a residence or even just minor smoke damage or anything like that, should you be considering filing in your insurance claim or something else right now, or should you wait?
No, there's for those, and I've already talked to people who've lost their homes up in the Los Alamos area. If you lost your home or your home was damaged, you contact your carrier immediately and file a claim. For those that lost their home, they will almost always be given a several thousand, up to $30,000-ish amount of money in a lump sum as an advance so you can get some necessities and then you can start the process of renting. If you lost your home, you want to figure out a place to live and a place to get to. You need some cash to do it. I don't want you to dip into your savings since you have a good insurance policy. Call them and get that process started right away.
Are you taking calls just helping people out, just to, you know, just worried
absolutely
with this situation?
Absolutely. This is the basics of calling your insurance company. Just get it going and ask them for the process of getting some money up front to take care of necessities. That could take you through the first week or 10 days while you guys assess when you can safely return to the home. Then you meet an adjuster, and then you start the process from there of deciding how best to clear your property and to rebuild or not.
Listening to Ask the Expert with Roy Miller of Hanson and Miller. If you would like to contact him, you can call them at 707-575-1040. That's 575-1040. They're also available at firejustice.com, also at fire@hansonandmiller.com. That is their email address. It is 1246 at KSRO. We're approaching, unfortunately, as we're in the middle of this fire situation, the year of a year since the Kincade fire, also 3 years since the October wildfires of 2017. We're going to talk about those coming up next and also a little bit more about the glass fire. This is KSRO.
I'm fire survivor and local attorney Roy Miller with news on the Kincade fire. CAL FIRE has reported that after a very meticulous and thorough investigation, they have determined that the Kincade fire was caused by electrical transmission lines owned and operated by PG&E. PG&E did de-energize distribution lines in the area, but not transmission lines. If you or a neighbor lost a home, trees, or crops in the Kincade fire, call our local law firm at 575-1040. That's 575-1040. We have helped thousands of fire survivors and have been in Sonoma County for over 60 years. Our entire staff was raised here in Sonoma County, so for us it's personal. If you lost property in the Kincade fire, call us at 575-1040 or go to firejustice.com for more information.
Roy Miller is the attorney responsible for this ad.
Hey, pizza lovers, here's a tough question for you. How do you like your pizza? Of course, you want your pizza the way it ought to be, on a fresh golden brown crust the way Mountain Mike's has been serving it since 1978. In response to the multitude of need in our community, Mountain Mike's makes it easy to raise money for your organization with Mountain Mike's fundraising cards and dine and donate opportunities for any organization or nonprofit. Visit MountainMike'sPizza.com or ChandiHospitality.com for more information about fundraising. Get your pizza to go, delivered, or get out of the house and enjoy the fresh air as Mountain Mike's patios are now open. For exclusive club member offers and coupons, sign up for our coupon club at MountainMike'sPizza.com. Mountain Mike's Pizza, the way pizza ought to be. Visit MountainMike'sPizza.com or ChandiHospitality.com for more information about fundraising. Mosquito prevention begins at home, and the Marin Sonoma Mosquito and Vector Control District needs your help.
Please dump out items holding water like plant saucers and buckets.
Keep rain barrels and other rain harvesting containers sealed or screened.
Clean and refresh water in bird week.
Importantly, don't forget to report mosquito problems to msmosquito.org or call the district at 707-285-2200.
.1249 at KSRO. Yes, this is KSRO. I'm Dale Tresillos, and this is Ask the Expert. We're here with Roy Miller of Hansen and Miller Law Firm, just talking about the latest questions just surrounding the fires, and mainly on the Kincade Fire. We just went into a lot with the glass fire, what you should be doing right now, including preparing a go bag if you do need it. And anybody that is listening right now, please do follow that advice. You know, have a plan. Be ready to go at a moment's notice if you do, because we're still on a red flag warning. We will be until tomorrow at about 6 a.m. Also, just want to let you know our full coverage of the glass fire will continue at 1 o'clock. But just kind of circle back with you, Roy, on the Kincade fire. The one-year anniversary is approaching. There's a bit of good news in that this case doesn't really seem to be headed to courts, that PG&E is working with with you guys and your group. What does that mean for survivors of the Kincade fire?
Well, what we're doing is, we actually, despite all the fire activity and the smoke, we have arborist teams that are going to our clients' parcels and evaluating them for damage and destruction. That's part of the claims workup process, and we wanted to keep that process going despite all of the other things going on. Because what we have been doing is, we've been working with PG&E on a format to see if we can resolve these cases by way of a claim form that's similar to the 2017 one. Mm-hmm. That would save everybody a lot of time and energy and money, frankly. And so we're in the process of doing that right now, and we've contacted our clients, and we're setting up appointments for them to come into either come into the office on West College, or better yet, do a phone or Zoom meeting to go over the paperwork to make sure we have all the categories of damage covered and we have all the documentation squared away, so that if we're able to finalize a way forward with PG&E to shortcut the litigation and move to just doing a claims process, we'll have all the information, and then PG&E can use that information to properly budget out how they're going to get these cases resolved.
Now, arborists, that's just mainly just covering the area with the Kincade itself. It was mostly damaged trees.
Well, it's covering everything outside of the structures, and okay. A lot of these places had vineyards damaged. They had outside buildings damaged, trees, fencing, irrigation lines, wells, patios, retaining walls. So those sorts of categories, they're large because a lot of the parcels out there are large. And we wanted to make sure those areas of damage were documented as thoroughly as the home. The home losses are always thoroughly documented, both by the insurance company in paying the claim and by the homeowner in making decisions about putting out rebuild bids and stuff like that. So the home losses are really well documented. We just want to make sure everything else is equally well documented.
How long does that usually take to document everything through the arborist?
Well, it depends on the size of the parcel. Usually, they will, when they come there, they will have already looked at the satellite photography. We purchased the before satellite photography to get an idea of what was there in terms of the types and size of tree cover and different types of plants. And then they combine it. They'll walk the property. Again, depending on the size, it may take an hour. It may take 3 hours to photograph sometimes speak with the homeowner to document any unusual features, because some of the retaining walls up there are quite extensive. And those homeowners are generational owners, and they built that with their grandfather 35 years ago. They can tell the arborist specific information about the materials and construction, because replacing that now is going to be really expensive. And it's good for the arborist to have that extra information.
It definitely is. And you're helping people just set up an appointments with this. What other kind of damages can you represent people for in this case?
Well, basically anything that's not covered by insurance. So a lot of people are underinsured in the rebuild. They're underinsured in the things that were inside their homes and other structures, the contents, and in the outside, because the outside claims are usually covered only 5% of the insurance covered on the home, and only in that area right around the home. So in these big parcels, none of that stuff's covered. And sometimes on these ag policies that are out there, they will cover some types of losses but not others. So by getting a complete documentation of what was lost, we put it up against what was insured, so we have a better accurate picture of what we need to claim from PG&E.
Now, if you're listening to this and you're not a victim of the Kincaid, this just screams to me, just look at your kind of your insurance coverage right now and just kind of see what you are and are not covered for, especially if you live in this one of these rural areas.
What I can tell people is that most of our clients in all of these fires have been underinsured in one category or another, and sometimes quite a lot underinsured. So I want people to circle back. The new laws require the insurance companies to start generating rebuild estimates as part of the renewal process. But if you do not have insurance on your main part of your home, especially in the rural areas, at least at $375 a square foot, you're underinsured. And so you need to speak to your agent about increasing your insurance. I did after my build. I told them, I showed them the figures, and I wanted my coverage doubled, which is a big ask. And State Farm doubled my coverage. And because of all the fire safety features I built into this house that made it more expensive to build, my premium is less because of the fire safety features. So you want to go forward with that process, but you also want to clear defensible space. It's harder in suburbs. I'm probably going to spend this weekend behind my lot, because there's a big parcel behind my house that's owned by basically an absentee owner, and I need to clear brush away from that freaking expensive fence I had to build. So I'm going to be spending the weekend doing that. I urge people to be clearing defensible space. Do it now and get it out of the way, so that if something happens, you and firefighters have more defensible space to save your home.
Is the claims process different or significantly different for someone who is maybe, unfortunately or fortunately, just depending on your viewpoint, considering leaving the area?
Well, the way that the law works in California is, if you do not rebuild and you sell that lot, you are entitled only to the difference between what the insurance coverage was and what the home was worth at the time of the fire. It is much better if you retain the lot and you have evidence, some moves towards rebuilding. Then you can say, I have an intent to rebuild, and you are entitled to the rebuild cost. Mm-hmm. And then you can make your decisions from there. But if you decide to sell and leave the area, totally respect that. A lot of people have done that. It will affect your recovery on the structure portion of your coverage. It won't affect emotional distress or contents, but it is something that once we fought through the litigation on the 2017 fires, the law was in the end clear that people who sold and replaced their home are not going to be entitled to the same amounts as if they rebuilt on the property.
Coming close to the end of our half hour, what does somebody need to file a claim with you, with Hanson and Miller?
Well, for folks on the Kincaid fire, you can call us at 575-1040. You can go to firejustice.com, which is our website. To get started, there's always a fee agreement, as lawyers require in California. We need all the information that you have provided insurance. So everything you provide insurance gets us a good starting point, and then we get the process of filling in the blanks, so that when it comes time to get that claim to PG&E, everything is documented. But good organization on your insurance claim will make it easier for us to maximize value for you in the claim against PG&E.
So the immediate documents that you do need.
So the insurance declaration page, mm-hmm. a record of what you've been paid by insurance. If you all have decided to rebuild, you've already cleared the lots. I want those invoices. I want rebuild bids, plans, copies of permits, evidence showing that you're in the rebuild process. If you have a business loss, that's easy. You hit a button on QuickBooks or a similar program, we can get profit and losses. And if you weren't able to sell your grape crop that year, we know how much you were going to be paid a ton, and we can then add that to your claim as well.
That's that's very important as well, because that's one of the going to be the hardest industries hit just after this unfortunate year of 4 million acres burned just across the state of California. That's a record.
The wine industry has been taking hits from the glut in the market, from COVID, and now from fires that's cut off a lot of the growers from being able to harvest. This has been very difficult, but if you're affected by the Kincade fire and were a vineyard owner, that's something we can definitely help you with.
If you're a victim of the 2017 October fires or 2018 Camp Fire, and you haven't really talked to Hanson and Miller for a while, or even since the PG&E bankruptcy had expired, do you need to contact you right away?
Right. If you're clients of ours, we've been reaching out to folks to set up appointments to finish the case workup process. And these fires displaced are the homes that we rented for people who were helping work up the claim. It mm-hmm. scrambled things, but we're getting that put back together. If you've not yet set up an appointment for a case review, or you started the process but not finished it, I want you to call me so we can make sure that process gets finished so that we can have the claim ready for you to approve before it gets sent in.
Again, that's 707-575-1040, 575-1040. You can also go to firejustice.com. Roy, thank you very much for your time.
Anytime.